Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
How do you tell this story? It's a story of a war hero, of an Olympic athlete, of a prisoner of war, of someone whose life was nearly taken at sea, and then later in that prisoner of war camp, who returns and not only has that story to tell, that tale to tell, but more of his life to live, and returns, well, albeit a hero, also in many ways broken person. Now, you've probably seen the best-selling book, Unbroken. You've probably read it. It is now a feature film. It is produced by Angelina Jolie. Does this movie tell the whole story? That's the question. Joining us to talk about the downplaying of the Christian faith in the movie Unbroken, Terry Mattingly, director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he is founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Glad to be here.
Did Angelina Jolie's telling of the story of Louis Zamperini's story, did she tell the whole story in that film, Unbroken?
Well, that's really an easy answer to question to answer, for the simple reason that Jolie has addressed it very openly and said that she had no intention of telling the whole story, because she believed that if she had told the complete story with his conversion to a born-again evangelical Christianity at the Billy Graham Crusade of L.A. in 1949, and all those details that are well known, if she had told the whole story, then it wouldn't have been universally popular. And thus, it would have hurt the story in terms of who it would have reached and how much, frankly, I guess, how much audience it would have. Now, at that point, you get into an entire interesting discussion, starting with the question, is Jolie right? Do we live in a country where telling the fine, specific Christian details of this hero's story would have made the movie less popular? Now, that's a fascinating question, and a host of other questions roll out of it that I've been interested in for several decades now.
Well, I want to come back to that because I agree with you, you know, whether or not Jolie is right in her assessment on how she crafts that film. What story does she tell then?
Well, I mean, she says that she wanted to tell a universal story of faith and redemption, and that thus at the end of it there are these cards that flash up that say, you know, that he kept his promise to God and that he eventually that he was reconciled with those who tortured him, etc. And it's kind of tacked on at the end. But to some degree, the crucial question, this is one that in my column this week I addressed in an interview with Franklin Graham. The question is, we've all gotten used to calling this book Unbroken. And, of course, I'm referring to the great book, the massive bestseller that led to the movie by Laura Hillenbrand. And the fact that she called the book Unbroken, there's a little bit of a problem right there, even from the viewpoint of Louis Zamperini himself. Is this the story of a man who was unbroken? And the point there is he was unbroken by all of the horrors that happened to him. He, at the end of the war, his spirit was unbroken. Well, Franklin Graham notes, you know, and several other people related to the Graham organization have noted this through the year, and Zamperini himself had noted that that's pretty an ironic way to look at it, because the truth of the matter was he was broken. He was spiritually broken, and he was psychologically broken. This was a man who was waking up in the middle of the night strangling his wife in bed because he was in the middle of nightmares and he was trying to kill the people who had tortured him. And he tried to drown all of his problems essentially in like alcohol, cigarettes, and girly magazines. He was a really broken, struggling man. And then so you have unbroken at war, you have broken in the aftermath of the war, and the third part of the book is essentially forgiven and healed. And so it's really interesting to discuss, could you have made a popular film that included the third act without it turning into some sort of culture war issues, about born-again Christianity and modern America, et cetera, et cetera, just as the debate about what Jolie did has turned into kind of a culture wars issue of Hollywood hates born-again Christians, and thus they left out that part of the book, yada, yada. You see my point?
Yeah, I'm also wondering, because I read the book, what I find compelling, a scene that I don't think any producer or director could turn away from in the right mind, is a picture of the 1949 Billy Graham in his heyday, when he was, I often say, he was kind of like Elvis with a Bible in his hand. That picture, I mean, how would you cast it? But that compelling picture of a Billy Graham crusade with the central character sitting there maybe night after night, to me, is so strong a scene for a film. I personally believe it would transcend any concerns people have about religion in films.
Well, this is the Billy Graham who at that time was offered movie contracts. He was so tall and so lanky and so good-looking and so just at times seemingly out of control. He was actually always in control according to the scripts and the recordings that they have of the sermons at that time. I mean, but this is one charismatic dude at that point. I mean, Hollywood wanted him then, and Graham said, you can't pay me enough money to make me walk away from what I think God wants me to do. So you have that scene, and then Franklin Graham hit another point in my interview with him, and this is what struck me. The scene that I really don't think any Hollywood writer, director, producer in their right mind turns away from is the scene then of after his conversion, Zambrini flying back to Japan and getting up and giving his testimony at the prison for the Japanese prisoners of war, the people who were on trial and had been convicted of war crimes in Japan, including many of his own guards, and him meeting with them face to face and forgiving them. Now you try to picture the drama of that scene, and that, Franklin told me, he says that would just send it totally over the top. It's like Jolie had the story and she didn't do the punchline. I mean, that scene delivers on the whole story. Now, something I didn't write about in the column this week because it took too much to get in to explain it, the infamous guard who tortured him the most, the one who was nicknamed the bird was not at that meeting because he had died earlier. And specifically, this was the man of Zambrini's feverish, hellish nightmares. And he went to Japan to try to find this man and forgive him, but he was already gone at that point, so he was not able to forgive him and attempt to be reconciled.
Now, let's come back to to a question that you raised before. I mean, we've talked about what was essentially left out, what could have been in the case of the Jolie Unbroken film. What was the calculus, being as fair as we can with the producer here? What was the calculus?
Well, I think there's a double calculus here that we really need to think about and that I would urge listeners to think about. And I want to look at it this way. Years ago, I had a chance. This is in my book on Pop Goes Religion. I did an interview with a man who knows a little bit about Hollywood, and that would be the great actor Robert Duvall. Now, if you were going to pick someone in American popular culture who, even though he isn't a Christian, someone has done due diligence in understanding the importance of evangelical culture in American life, you'd have to say Robert Duvall is the guy. I mean, starting with his Academy Award-winning performance in Tender Mercies, he has had a strong interest in the role of evangelical Christianity in the American South. And in this interview with Duvall, we ended up discussing the simple reason, why are Christian movies so bad? And, of course, this is the whole deal, was Jolie, in effect, was on the horns of a dilemma. For years, we've used the phrase, hey, that's just like a Billy Graham movie, to describe any movie in which you have someone whose life is hellish, he's torn up, there's crisis after crisis after crisis, he's falling apart, and then he hears a sermon by Billy Graham, walks the aisle, roll credits, right? That's the end of the movie. The problem with the Zambrini story is there really is a Billy Graham movie. It really was the real thing. So does Jolie make a Billy Graham movie to where at the end he hears the sermon, he walks down the aisle, he puts his life together, he's eternally healed? Is Angelina Jolie a self-professed agnostic or spiritual seeker or whatever she is she going to make that movie? No way. So that's half the equation. Jolie isn't going to go there. Jolie ain't making a Billy Graham movie. And most people in Hollywood would not either. They would say it's simplistic, it's trite, and who cares if that's what actually happened in this case? It's a bad story. The last act just doesn't work from Hollywood's perspective. Here's the other question from Duvall's perspective. Duvall said he can understand why Hollywood doesn't make good movies about redemption. He said because Hollywood doesn't understand redemption. What Duvall said is, why don't Christians make good movies about sin? So that's the other half of the question. Name a Christian director who could have filmed this movie and not turned it into kind of a shallow story that doesn't take seriously the hell he went through and the language and the violence, you know, and the horror of all that. Do you see what I'm saying? Christians would have been tempted to have shortchanged the first two acts, because all Christians in Christian media might have seen was that final act. And if you had done that, that would have shortchanged both the story and the box office, right?
Is it possible then?
Is it possible? It's possible if you've got a really, really great Christian who happens to be a Hollywood-level director. Could you have made that movie a number of years ago, and people say, well, you're going to name this guy, he made corny movies and all that. Could Frank Capra have made that movie? Could John Ford, a Roman Catholic, have made that movie? You see what I'm getting at? In other words, if you had a Christian actor involved in that process, someone like Jimmy Stewart, someone who was a church-going, faithful Presbyterian after the horrors he saw in World War II, could Jimmy Stewart have made that movie? In other words, at this point, we're really asking another question, very similar to the question I've asked for years about Christians turning their backs and running from the field of mainstream journalism. Where are the superstar-level Christians in Hollywood who could have made all three acts at the level of greatness that Hillebrand did in her book? And frankly, Graham made an interesting point. He said Hillebrand, who I don't know if you know anything about her, she has major medical issues. She's limited greatly in her movement, and here she writes these page-turning, driven books while all not so much being bedbound as much as just for constant fatigue, being required to stay at home, and struggles in her health. She came to the Billy Graham headquarters and, according to Franklin Graham, spent hours and hours making sure she had all the details of that service right. That she had, you know, she listened to the recordings. She read the outline of Graham's sermon from that night. She knew exactly what happened in that tent, you know, with Zambrini sitting out there, you know, shaking literally in his boots as his life is being described in the pulpit. She did the homework and produced mainstream level greatness. And how did that book do when it came to sales?
Yeah.
Okay. So you see my point? It's all about the greatness of the artist. And at this point, I think that Christians who are upset about what Angelina Jolie did to this movie, they have to really ask themselves the following question. It's one you've heard me ask before, and I'll ask it again. How many Christian colleges and universities in America can you go to and get a degree in screenwriting? And last time I checked, it was about three. Arguably the most influential form of culture creation in modern America and mainstream Christian education has ignored it. So should we be surprised that you can count on one hand maybe the major Christians in the field of Hollywood work and direction and production that could have done this film? Should we be surprised that that last act is missing? Tragically, I don't think we should be.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about the downplaying of the Christian faith in the movie Unbroken. When we come back, he's got me thinking about another film, perhaps, maybe a real Billy Graham film. We'll get his thoughts on that on the other side of the break. It's Wednesday afternoon, January the 7th. Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities and author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which He won for us in His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, gethsemane-lcms.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Common and experienced firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision.
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back. You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about the downplaying of the Christian faith in the recent movie Unbroken. Terry, you got me thinking about something you said before the break about a Billy Graham movie, and I thought about a literal Billy Graham movie. He will not be with us soon. His life is an American story. It's an American religion story. I think that movie will be made at some point. I want your thoughts, given the state and the case you made before the break, the state of kind of Christians and Christian filmmaking in the arts. Can that movie, can that story be told, the Billy Graham story?
Well, first of all, I disagree with you that someone will make the Billy Graham movie. And the reason is I don't think it would be a very good movie in the sense that it doesn't have the closest Billy Graham comes to a massive public crisis that we know of would have to be the soul-searching he did after hearing the Nixon tapes. when he realized that he had worshipped America, that he had worshipped power, and he begins to rethink it. And with a lot of people helping him along the way, like John Stott, the great Anglican thinker in England, and the Presbyterian thinker Leighton Ford, who, of course, is married to one of Billy Graham's sisters, he has people close to him that begin to say, Billy, Billy, have we worshipped America? Have we done what some of our critics have accused us of? And out of that comes what Graham considered to be the greatest achievement of his life, more than the Crusades, which was the founding of Lausanne and the international network of evangelists who would walk in his shoes at the smaller level for decades and decades and decades to come. And Graham begins to realize the future of Christianity is not in America. It's in Africa, and it's in Asia, and it's in Latin America. And he begins to kind of repent of his Americanism. Now, I don't know too many evangelicals who would make that movie because they'd feel too judgmental about America. And yet I don't see any people at Hollywood wanting to make that movie either. Do you?
No. No, not that movie, for sure. I mean,
not
the Nixon angle is compelling, but not what follows after it. Then that
I think that the best we could hope for there would be, you know, some sort of tremendous documentary series, you know, by some great visual journalist who would try to unpack that. Because I don't know anybody with the charisma to play Billy Graham. Do you? I mean, it's a miracle they got even half of the Johnny Cash story on film. And note that the part of the Johnny Cash story they didn't get on film was what? His faith. They didn't, one of the greatest artists of the late 20th century, and the part of the Johnny Cash story they didn't get is him in that cave rededicating his life to Christ and coming back out of that cave, and as a flawed sinner for the rest of his life, he struggled trying to get his life put back together. The part of Johnny Cash they couldn't get was his faith either. And I would argue that Cash is certainly one of the most intriguing Americans in popular culture in the late 20th century, if not one of the most talented overall. Somebody tries to make the Dolly Parton story someday. You may think that's silly for me to bring Dolly Parton up, but she is a great American artist. I bet you that someday when they make the Dolly Parton story, the part of it they don't get right is Appalachia and her Pentecostal roots and faith as well. We've got this divide between Christians and mainstream cultural creation. And frankly, we're not doing a good enough job to make those movies. And Hollywood doesn't want to make those movies. And Robert Duvall said that was tragic. Hollywood doesn't understand redemption, and Christians don't understand sin. And as a result, some of the greatest stories of our age are not getting told.
So two final questions for you, Terry. One of my frequent guests, Dr. Gene Edward Veith, he's observed that, and he bemoans the fact that Christians, in his words, have abandoned their posts in academia.
Yeah.
Therefore, in the training of people in everyday vocations where they benefit their neighbors, in the arts, elsewhere, all those places. What are your thoughts there?
It's bad theology. Creation, fall, redemption, the cultural mandate, what in the ancient churches of Catholicism and Orthodoxy would simply be called creation theology. Christians just want to seem to produce media that helps their fundraising efforts. What one Christian thinker, Terry Linval, he said, we are convinced that God just wants us to make happy little Jesus stories. And I can't think of a more severe condemnation than that. In other words, there are stories that are simply too great for Christians to have the talents to make them. And at the same time, that because the stories end in redemption, creation, fall, and redemption, Hollywood doesn't know how to make the last act. That's tragic. And that's not something that great artists of previous generations, back when Christians were allowed to be truly great, that's not a problem that Jane Austen would have struggled with. That's not a problem that Shakespeare struggled with. That's not a problem that Dostoevsky struggled with, right? But, you know, we're just not getting it done today.
Finally, someone goes to see Angelina Jolie's Unbroken film. the story that she tells of Louis Zambrini. What should they know going in when they're getting ready to watch this film?
Well, the good news is we could tell them to read the book. And also, the Graham Organization has for free right now. You can go to billygraham.org and watch it. They have a documentary on Zambrini in which he tells his own story in his own words. And it's not the drama that you would see with Angelina Jolie in Hollywood, but it's got the whole story there in kind of a very simple, rudimentary documentary form, and I would recommend people do it. But I wish we had more people in the mainstream arts who were willing to do the work that Hillebrand did to write her book. That's the solution. It's not that this is supposed to be evangelism. It's not supposed to be Christian fundraising. Someone just needs to make great art. And the book got it, and the movie didn't. It's that simple.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and University. He is author of the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
When we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, January the 7th, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Brad Wilcox, director of the Home Economics Project at the American Enterprise Institute and the Institute for Family Studies. We're going to be talking to him about the impact of intact marriages on domestic abuse. He's also author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Yes, Women and Children Are Safer Within Intact Marriages. Dr. Brad Wilcox on Issues Etc. right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.